Glory to God. Tonight we're going to be talking about developing an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit, not a mediocre spirit, not one that's half there, half in, half out, but an excellent, excellent spirit. So turn to your Bibles in Daniel. Daniel 5, the 12th verse. You know, Daniel had a reputation for having an excellent spirit. There were many in the Bible that had excellent spirits. But tonight we're just going to highlight Daniel. Daniel 5, verse 12. In the message it says, "There is a man in your kingdom who is full of the divine Holy Spirit." To have an excellent spirit, you have to be full of the Holy Ghost. And we are full of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we can all be excellent. During your father's time, he was well known for his intellectual brilliance, spiritual wisdom. He was so good that your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him head of all the magicians, enchanters, diviners, and fortune tellers. There was no one quite like him. He could do anything. Interpret dreams, solve mysteries, explain puzzles. His name is Daniel. Daniel was exceptional. One translation says that Daniel had an excellent spirit throughout the whole kingdom. He was known. He was known to be outstanding, extraordinary, all because he had an excellent spirit. Excellence means the quality of being outstanding. You just stand out from among the rest when you are operating in that spirit of excellence. The original Hebrew definition of the word excellence means, and this is interesting, it means preeminence. Preeminence. Daniel had a spirit of preeminence over his flesh, amongst other things. So when we walk in the spirit of excellence, we are preeminent over our flesh, over our carnal nature. That's one of the benefits. We are letting the Spirit lead us. We are being fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now, being excellent doesn't mean perfection, because we all know none of us are perfect. There's only one that's perfect. That's Him. But, or it doesn't mean being superior, because none of us are superior. We're all in the same playing field. We all came the way of the cross. But God uses us differently. Yeah, each and every one of us. But it does mean giving your best effort. It doesn't mean you're better than anyone else, because everyone in the body of Christ has your own unique talents, gifts, abilities. You each bring your own flavor, your own colorful personalities to your jobs, to your ministries, to whatever service that you're doing for the Lord. And it enhances your God-given ability. Excellence is not something you do once in a while. It's a choice. It's a lifestyle that you strive for in everything. In fact, it becomes a part of you. My mom, after she had her stroke and after she started recovering, she made her bed every morning. Every morning. Nobody living in the house with her. Good housekeeping seal of approval team wasn't coming over the house to inspect. She'd get up and make her bed every morning. Nobody there to check and see. Nobody went upstairs. But she had a spirit of excellence about her. It was just inborn in her. She made the bed for 40, 50 some years. She's going to continue to do it. She didn't sing, "Well, I had a stroke, and oh, poor me, and there's nobody here to help me." First thing she did was she got up and she made the bed. And then she went downstairs and she cooked. She was excellent in all her ways, in her cooking, in her baking, in her sewing. She wasn't perfect, but she demanded excellence out of us kids. Sit up straight at the table. Get your elbows off the table. Sit up, you know. And one remark about the food. I remember one time, me and my brothers, we made a smirk remark about her serving cream tuna with peas on toast. We had that a lot on Fridays. I don't know why. And the next thing I remember was I was on the floor. My dad, boom, I got that smirk swiped off my face real fast. You don't make comments about the food or anything in the household. There was a sense of respect and honor. But my mom had that spirit of excellence, though, up until the time that she went on to be with the Lord. She would be in the nursing home. We'd go visit her, and we'd be sitting there, and she'd say, "Carol, there's a piece of paper, a speck on the carpet." I don't see no paper. I don't see no speck. Yeah, and she'd say, "Yeah, it's over there. Go pick it up." Okay, Mom. I'd go and I'd pick it up. She was an OCD. Which means you know what OCD is. She wasn't that, but she just had an excellent spirit about her. Everything in its place, clean, everything organized, and that's admirable. But excellence becomes a part of who you are. Excellence is the flow of God. Excellence is His flow, one of His flows. Excellence draws prosperity. It does. Look at Solomon. Look, there's so many characters in the Bible where they were excellent. They were very wealthy, very prosperous. Because when you have an excellent spirit, you just attract wealth. You're just excellent. It's just like, it just comes to you. And God funds excellence. He funds it. If you read in 1 Kings, when Solomon built the temple for God, and he finished the temple, he didn't start it, and then 5-6 years later, still building, still waiting for the materials, everything was done in perfection and excellence. Everything was inlaid gold, 24 karat, not overlay where there was silver underneath it, pure gold. The temple was made, the ark, the cherubims, everything. This temple must have just been, oh my goodness, just extraordinary. He built it with excellence, and he was very wealthy himself. And when you read it, I encourage you, read about it. Read about the temple he built for the Lord in 1 Kings chapter 6. It's amazing, simply amazing. Now, people, in your ministries, and as leaders, you have to install excellence in others. But in fact, before you even do that, the people that you have working with you, under you, I don't like to use that word under you, not to sound demeaning, but you're on a team and you have people working with you. They have to see excellence in you first before they start operating in excellence. If they see you 3 minutes before service starts, or you're hitting and missing, or you're not operating in excellence, it's a poor example. They have nothing to model themselves after. You have to be leaders and ministry leaders, staff, and all the leaders in here. You have to operate in the spirit of excellence, and then others will follow because the spirit of excellence is contagious. It is. You see somebody else doing something well, and it's contagious. It just rubs off on you. The outflow of the spirit of excellence is organization. Organization is God's plan to simplify your life. If you want more poured into you, you must be organized. And how you conduct yourself personally in your home most likely is how you're going to conduct yourself in your ministry, on your job. You're not going to be two different persons. How you usually are in your home, that's how you're going to be as a leader. That's how you're going to be as whatever position you hold in the church. Even on the job, what little quirks that you have, you'll carry them over on your job. You'll carry them over into the church, good or bad. Lack of personal organization will bring unnecessary pressure upon you. and whatever God's called you to do. Because being organized is a key ingredient to increase. Increasing. And I don't mean monetarily just, but increasing in every way, even in the anointing. Wasn't God organized when he created the world? Day one, he set aside what he was to do. Day two, day three, he was so organized. He had it all lined up. And in fact, he took one whole day off just to rest. We call that day Sunday. God's very highly organized. He's the most exceptional, excellent person beside Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's our divine, excellent teacher. The anointing will never make up for disorder or for disorganization. It never will. You must be organized. Whether you're part of a ministry, whether you head a ministry, whether you're overseer, being organized. Nobody wants to work with somebody that's totally disorganized, scatterbrained. You know, what's the plan? Oh, I don't know. We're just going to wing it this week. You know, wing it. What if your pastor's just winged it? You know, no planning, no nothing. We'll just see today what the Lord's going to do. Now, we do follow the Holy Spirit. He has preeminence, but we still come with a plan. We still come with something prepared all the time. But yet we're sensitive to where the Holy Spirit isn't pushed somewhere in the back room and then he gets last 5 minutes of the service. It's always, what would you like to say? What would you like to do tonight? How would you like to move, flow? And so organization is part. They're just like brother and sister to the flow of excellence. Ask yourself this. Does a ministry, a project, or an assignment that maybe you are involved in or you volunteered, does it get better because you're there and you're part of it? Or does it just get all ripped up, torn up, you know, or just come unglued? It shouldn't. If you're involved in something, it should be an asset. It should enhance whatever part of the church, whatever ministry it is. It's like, oh, good, look who's here. Yay, they're here to help, you know. Hip, hip, hooray. And it's not like, oh, you know, tie everything down, you know. It's just like, uh-oh, got to walk on eggshells, you know. I wonder what type of, you know, different personalities. I wonder who they're going to be tonight, you know. No, we should all be on an even, an excellent spirit. People know who they're going to get when they meet you. People know who they're going to get when you show up, and that's how it should be. Never bring, when there's a situation, a heated situation, or a problem in your ministry, never bring a can of gasoline to a fire. Always bring a can of water to diffuse it, to put it out. Always be a solution to your problems. Don't be the problem, but be a solution. Is a situation diffused because you came on the scene, or did it become worse because you showed up? Big difference. Big difference. The excellence of your faith is how you maintain things and bring understanding and clarity in your life. You know, God doesn't set the standard for our lives. God doesn't. We do. We do that. We set the bar. We set the standard. And whatever standard, whatever bar you set, guess what? God will be comfortable with that. He'll say, all right. Is that God's best? Maybe not. Maybe he wants you to come up a little higher. But whatever standard you set for yourself, for in ministry, whatever you're involved in with the church, remember now, there's no greater than, you know, we're all part of this. We're all part of the body. The little pinky finger is just as important as the head, as the shoulders, as the arm and the legs, as the torso, all these things. You don't believe that? Get a little paper cut on your little pinky finger and see how that affects you all day. That's horrible. That stings. That burns. Yeah, especially when you put hand sanitizer on it, you know. But every part of the body is important, and we all should be flowing together in everything that we do. To you leaders, never leave an assignment or your vision or your ministry into the hands of somebody who's disorganized or has a disorganized personality. Why? Because it's not a spirit of excellence at work. It's not. You know, you can't finish something, or you're going to be off, or you're going to be away for a couple weeks. Make sure that person has a spirit of excellence about them. Not disorganized, not somebody that, you know that whatever you place in their hands, it's going to be in good hands, in trusted hands. And you can just leave with a, it's going to be okay. When we leave, when we travel, we don't just get anybody in charge or just call so-and-so or, just to fill in. Whoever stands behind this pulpit, we guard. This is a sacred trust. It's a sacred trust to stand behind this pulpit. Yeah. Some ministers call it the Holy of Holies, but nevertheless, it's a holy trust. But always have that spirit of excellence at work with you. The Lord told Pastor Nancy Dufresne this statement, and it's so good. He told her, the greater the anointing, the smaller the margin for error. So the greater anointing in your life, the more you increase in the anointing, it's going to be the smaller margin for error. Meaning too, which is synonymous with that scripture that says, broad is the way, narrow is the road. Very few will walk on that. But the more the anointing increases in your life, God's going to require more out of you and more from you. Because the air of margin already, you're already, as you become more skillful in things, more God can trust you with more anointing, pour out, give you a little bit more anointing. But he's not going to just pour it all out on you without being proven, without being tested, and being skillful with it. God doesn't do that. He doesn't operate like that. And so as you increase in these areas, there'll be more and more finer margin for error, because you may say, do you have a scripture for that? Sure. Whom much is given, much is required. Yeah, that's how God operates. As you mature and grow in excellence, your misses should be few and far between. Your misses, not being that you're perfect or, we all have that area to where we grow. But, if you've been here for some time and you've been in a particular ministry for years and years and years, you need to every year. Do you know that this year only, and no condemnation, this year only one person from a particular ministry handed in a, what would you call that, their vision, so to speak, or, a mission statement. Thank you. Yeah, only one person did. We didn't ask for it, and it wasn't like we were waiting to say, let's see who remembers, No, we didn't. But I thought, that's an excellent spirit. Just to draw an outline, map out what they're going to do for the year, their goals, their aspirations, and for the ministry, how to improve upon it, and so on and so forth. And we usually have a meeting or something like this, maybe in January or something, but it's almost October, and that's okay, because the Lord placed this upon my heart tonight to talk to the people, talk to your leaders, talk to the staff about being excellent, upping it. We all can improve in our personal lives and in our ministry lives in being excellent. If you see something broken in the church or outside, tell us about it or fix it. If you break something, accidentally or break anything, replace it. Don't just leave it broke, you know, and then we find out and think, what happened? You know, oh, we forgot to tell you. Tell leadership, tell your pastors, you know, and just let us know all these things, you know, around the church, even the outside. We all can up it. We all can do a lot more than we are. And you may say, well, and I know some of you are operating on 200%. I know some of you wear many hats. You take one hat off on Saturday, you put another hat off on Sunday, and you're doing something else during the week. And you know, and sometimes it can feel a little pressurized when one person or one particular husband and wife team are doing so much. And it should be evenly spread out, because you know, like that statistic says, in a church, 20% of the people were doing everything, and 80% of people were just warming the seats, just coming on Sundays. Bless me, just bless me. Tell me how wonderful I am. Yes, you are wonderful, but it's time to get off your blessed assurance and get involved and start helping. Start helping around the church. Start, you know, witnessing, talking to people out there about Jesus. You don't need to be in the faith for 10 years before you start doing that. So the greater the anointing, the smaller the error, the margin for error. Turn to Colossians 3, verse 23. A lot of you know this. Colossians 3, 23. It says, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul. That is, put in your very best effort as something done unto the Lord and for the Lord, and not for man. Doing it all unto him, not even so much for your pastors. Well, my pastors asked me to do this. But do it as if Jesus had asked you. Do it with excellence. Do it with very, very best. You know that Dr. Dufresne, when he first started, he used to tell this story. When he left the Catholic Church and got born again and saved, he went to a church, went to the pastor and says, I'm here. What do you need help with? I'm just here to help. What can I do around the church? And the pastor told him, we don't have anybody to clean the toilets. He said, I'll do it. I'll do that. And he said he was the best toilet cleaner. He cleaned the bathrooms, cleaned the toilets, and he did it with joy, not like, I can't believe he asked me to do that. That's, you know, gee, that's so beneath me, you know. Oh, yeah. And he would do it and waiting for Jesus to come and check on it. You know, like Jesus would come in with white gloves. Okay, good. You know, clean. Oh, clean. And he says, Dr. Dufresne says that when he goes to different churches, now he's in heaven, but when he was visiting churches, I don't know if he did that here. Maybe he did. I don't know. But of the many times that him and Pastor Nancy came to this church, you know what he said? First thing he would inspect is the bathrooms. Yeah, he would. He would check to see how clean the toilets are, if they're neglected, if there's a whole bunch of mold or dirt in the corners or something like that in the bathrooms. He would check that, you know, and because that's where he started. And he says he did it well and he didn't complain. And then after that, you know, then he just started getting promoted through the ranks over the years. But he started there. But, you know, today somebody comes in and you tell them, we don't have anybody to clean the toilets. I'll see. I think I'm in the wrong church, you know, and out the door. And you never see them again. Kenneth Hagin tells this story. I love this story. Kenneth Hagin tells this story that he was visiting this one minister, very well known, big church. And he was doing some meetings at his church. And this pastor, on a regular basis, would ordain ministers, raise them up from within the church and even on the outside. But at this particular week that Kenneth Hagin was with him, he was ordaining some men and their wives. And so so Kenneth Hagin and him are going back and forth, and Kenneth Hagin was asking him about, what do you look for before you ordain, you know, your leaders and things like that? What do you look for? And he expected him to say, well, first of all, I want to see their credentials. I want to see all their certificates. I want to see all the accolades. You know, we want to see references from well-known ministries. I look for to see if they graduated from Rhema Bible School. No, none of that. You know what this pastor told Kenneth Hagin? He says, when they ask me to, they want to be ordained, or when I feel they that they're ready to be ordained, he says, without them knowing, I get in the car and I drive past their house and I look at their yard. I see if the grass is cut. I see if there's junk rubbish in the yard. Or things, you know, is there things broken? Is the yard a mess? I look at the car they drive. Not talking about money. Not talking about having a Rolls Royce or a Bentley or anything. No. But is the car looks like it needs a wash? You know how somebody, the kids will put wash me, you know, when the car's all filthy, dirty, and then you see somebody put wash me and the car sitting, has bird stuff on it, sitting, you know, and just looks like, oh my goodness. But he says, this minister said he would drive past their house, take a look at the outside condition, see their weeds, does the house need attending, is the yard a mess? He says, because that's a direct reflection of the inside of the house and how a person would run their ministry and how they would operate. That's not a spirit of excellence. And so he said, he would always do that without them knowing. That's the first thing he would do. Drive past their place, see how well they kept house. Because you're not going to do these things in the natural. You know, you're going to be a poor leader. And not to bring condemnation on anyone, but, you know, Catherine Kuhlman, listen to this. Catherine Kuhlman, before her services would start, she would not let her ushers usher if they didn't have their shoes polished, shined and polished, Reuben. You may say, wow, that's extreme. No, that's a spirit of excellence. That's a spirit of excellence. And so these different things all matter. They all matter. And I know we live here in Hawaii, and everybody is, you know, on different, you know, people dress differently, but still, it matters. It matters how you come to church, how you dress. You know, if I know there are some churches to where a lot of the guys walk in with slippers and surf shorts and t-shirts. Are you going to the beach or are you going to church? You know, there should be a difference between, you know, did you just come from off the beach surfing or, you know, what? I'm not putting down how people dress, but I'm saying you should come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in your very best. If that's your very best, wonderful, fine. But, you know, but come dressed, honoring God, not to show off, not to compete. And it's not about money at all. But just wearing your very best. All these things are a form of an excellent spirit. All of these things. So, and we all can up the ante. We all can improve in this area, in our personal lives. Because what we do in our personal lives, it spills over into your ministry. It does. It does. That's why that pastor always did, you know, things in the natural. Drive by their house. See, you know, didn't even ask to go inside because if the outside's all torn up, you know what the inside's going to look like. It's going to be worse. And so, yeah, these things will, they'll tell on you. They will. But it matters how we conduct our personal lives, especially if you're going to have an excellent spirit. It speaks volumes in how organized and efficient you run your ministry. Listen to this in Proverbs 22, verse 29. This is really good. This is the Passion. Proverbs 22, verse 29 says, if you are uniquely gifted in your work, you will rise and be promoted. Who was it that said they just got a raise? Reuben, you. Yeah, last week. Reuben says he got a raise. Yes. Excellent, wonderful. I'll read that again. I'll start from the beginning. Proverbs 22:29. If you are uniquely gifted in your work, you will rise and be promoted. You won't be held back. You'll stand before kings. Wow, that says a lot. That's being excellent. You know, in Proverbs 31, it talks about a woman of excellence, a virtuous woman, a woman who is excellent. Doesn't talk about how much money she has, what type of house, what type of car she drives. But excellence just shines. It just comes forth out of a person. No matter what they do, they just do it excellent. You know, I had this friend, her name, she's in heaven right now, her name was Danette. I'll tell you, whatever she did, some of you may know her, when they lived on Maui, they came to this church. She just did it. It was like inborn in her. She sewed her daughter's wedding dress and all the bridesmaids. And then her son, she did the same for his wedding. And there were something like 18 of them in the wedding party, you know. When she cooked, when she baked, whatever she did, when she sewed, on the job I worked with her, we worked together at the post office. And first one to show up, last one to go home, you know. I'm waiting for her in the parking lot and she's still doing the, you know, just excellent. Excellent in everything that she set her hands to do. It's just like when she touched something, it just came out excellent. And it's not like she took classes to learn how to do any of this stuff. It was just inbred in her. She had an excellent spirit. There was no dishonor or disrespect in her whatsoever. It just wasn't part of her makeup. It was just amazing. It was awesome, you know, being around and having a friend like that. Really was, you know. I love her and I miss her. But anyways, having an excellent spirit, you won't be held back. You'll stand before kings. A spirit of excellence always shows that you can be trusted. You can. Holy Spirit told me something when I was preparing. And he says that some of you here are sitting on your assets. Literally. Some of you are sitting on your assets. On your blessed assurance. Take that to heart. Your talents, your abilities, these things that he's blessed you with, you're sitting on them. You should be using them for the glory of God and not hold back for whatever reason. I can understand if you have babies at home. If, you know, your children are young and you have 2-3 jobs and all these other different circumstances. But, you know, there comes a time when God's going to require of you what he's blessed you with, what he's given you, with the talents, even if it's just one. Use that one talent to the best and he'll give you more. But the Holy Spirit says, some of you are sitting on your assets. So start using them. Start using them for his glory. To serve people, whatever reason, whatever's held you back before, chances are all those reasons, I bet you any money, they're all carnal. I bet you any money. The reasons for not using them. Well, I don't really, you know, her personality is kind of like sandpaper, you know. Hey, all these things, you know, we can, like, iron sharpens iron. You know, we're in the church here. There's such a thing as loving and getting along with one another. And there's a way to get past those things. Because if you can't love one another in the church, how are you going to love those unlovables out there in the world? You know, not saying that there's not difficult personalities sometimes in churches. Yeah, there are. But there are ways where the Holy Spirit will give you ways just to work around it, work with them, you know. I remember one time on my job, this one lady, boy, I'll tell you, her and I, you know, it almost came to the point where you want to step outside, you know. I tell you, she told me some things, and I thought, really? Okay. And after we had a intense discussion, do you know what? Her and I ended up being best friends. We did. Well, we ended up being best friends. Sweet, sweet local lady, you know. Love her to pieces. But, you know, it took a while, you know, because she didn't know me that well. I didn't know her. And, but that's for people on the outside. But inside the church, we ought to be getting along, flowing with one another. And if you're called to help, or, you know, there should just be an influx. And thank you, all of you that showed up last Sunday, too, to support Melanie and James in this event that we're planning for. So that's great. And this church does well in things like that, in outreaches and responding to the community and stuff. So, you know, I applaud all of you for that. But a spirit of excellence shows that you can be trusted. You can be trusted with the confidential matter. You're not a gossip. You're not going to take it in the back room and share it with somebody else. But basically, you can be trusted. It's easy to have an excellent spirit when all eyes are on you. When you're in the limelight, you're up in the front, you know, because everybody's looking at you. It's easy, you know, just like for a person to come to church in a three-piece suit, all groomed, all shined and polished like a shiny penny. But then yet, like that pastor minister drives past his house and it's a mess, you know. Weeds, and you know, the house is just, it needs some TLC badly, and you know, even on the inside. But an excellent spirit is somebody who is just well-rounded, because what you're doing behind closed doors when nobody's looking to see you, if you did a half-hearted job or if you gave it your all, 200%, an excellent spirit doesn't take shortcuts. And I know one thing that I was thinking of, you know, is taking shortcuts is this would mostly be for the guys when you paint. Do you ever see somebody take on a major painting job? Now, when you're painting over something, what's the right way? James, are you here? Yeah. Anyways, you normally scrape off the old paint, right? And then you sand it, get it smooth, and you put primer and then the new paint. Well, what would be a shortcut? Eliminate all that. Just slap the new paint. Slap the new paint on top of the old stuff, even if it's cracked or has blisters or whatever, or nail marks, you know. That's not an excellent spirit. Yeah. Doing it the right way. Yeah, it's going to take some time. It's going to take more elbow grease. But something on the inside of you is just not going to let you do it. Even if nobody would know, the people who hired you, you know, the pastor wouldn't know if you're working on the church, if you took a shortcut. Nobody would know because you're covering it up with paint. But you would know, and God would know. And if you have an excellent spirit, it won't let you do that. Something will be like, just check. I'm going to do it the right way. Yeah, it's going to take me hours more to do it, but an excellent spirit. And an excellent spirit is developed. It is developed. We should all be striving for it. And again, it's not perfection, but it's doing your very best, going the extra mile, doing what, you know, others wouldn't expect you to do in every area, not just when all the other people are looking at you. All eyes are on you. So, you know, you're doing your very best. And then behind that, you know, you're slacking off. An excellent spirit will not do that. An excellent spirit doesn't draw attention to themselves, even when they're in charge or they're the leader. An excellent spirit will always keep their word. It's their bond, even to their own hurt. They're not looking for ways to get out of what they promised to do. I remember years ago, you know, when my dad was alive, he would do different jobs, or different men would come to the house to do jobs, and they would agree on a price, or agree on certain things, and they would just shake hands. No need to get a 20-page contract, signing it, an initial here, and I'll take some pictures, you know, get your cell phone, and none of that. All my dad do was shake the hand. That was his bond. And that was not broken. If you broke your word, nobody else would hire you, back in those days anyway, because your word or your handshake, that was your bond. That was your word. And if you were chucking and jiving and just one of these trying to scam or make some quick money, you know, you wouldn't last. People wouldn't call you. But, you know, nowadays, it's like people will sign a document or sign papers and then deliberately hire lawyers to try to get out of what they signed and what they said they were going to do. You know, that's the world that we're living in today. You know, I know one time in the prison ministry, there was a mishap. There was a burglary in one of the small convenience stores, and they showed a camera. And they had the guy's face right there in the camera. And go to court, go to jail, and the guy comes out, and then the judge says, what do you have to say for yourself, you know? He pleaded not guilty. And they showed the tape and says, there you are. He says, it was my twin brother. Whatever you can get away with today, you know, it seems like, what, you know, just to get out from being accountable, if somebody's gullible enough for that, yeah, that was my evil twin, you know, that did it. It wasn't me. I was home sleeping with the dog, you know. Well, it wasn't me. But an excellent spirit will always, always keep their word. An excellent spirit will never compromise or water down the word of God. Never. You're not going to compromise the word when people ask you, yeah, you're a Christian. How do you feel about this? How you feel about gay marriage? How you feel about homosexuals? You water down or try to backscale, you know, or try to just change the subject? Tell them what the word says. Say, I'm not going to give you my opinion, but I'll tell you what the word says. The word says it's sin. Read in Romans, in the book of Romans. It'll lay it out plain and simple about these things, about these topics. And then throw it in too. And if the word says it, I agree with it. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to apologize. You know, don't have to be afraid, you know, of people, you know, and what they're, no, not at all, not at all. You know, the word is true, and we support it and we stand for it 150%. And an excellent spirit will be a good communicator, both in and outside, in ministry, on the outside as well. I'm not saying you'll be a good talker. We're not talking about being talkative or loquacious, but communicating with the other people that you're working with, those that are on your team. Communicating with your pastors, that's a big one. Communicate with us. Let us know if you're not going to be here, if you're not going to show. If we call you, if we text you, if we phone you, it shouldn't take weeks and weeks for you to get back to us. That's dishonorable. That's dishonorable. I can see if you don't have a phone. But call, communicate with us, let us know so we know where you're at. If we don't see you, if you're a leader, we should know where you're at. We should know, hey, I haven't seen them in a month. I mean, they're doing okay. Are you all right? You know, not just, you know, slipping in, slipping out when it's convenient. You're a leader. Eyes are on you. People are watching you. And if you, and God will hold you to that too. So there's certain things, church, people, that we're just going to have to tighten up on in some areas. Amen? I amen that. If you don't amen it, that's all right. Because God told me to say some of these things. So I'm just giving them to you as he gave them to me. So there's a lot of small little tweaking, little adjustments, communicating with one another, communicating with us, letting us know so we're not guessing. Where are they? What happened? Especially if you're a leader, especially if you're an elder, especially if you're part of the staff. We expect that from you. We expect things to be tightened up and squeaky clean, if you know what I mean, squeaky clean. Because it's a reflection on us. It's a reflection on God's kingdom. Yeah, not loosey-goosey. And an excellent, lastly, an excellent spirit is teachable and able to receive correction. This is a big one. An excellent spirit is teachable, able to receive correction. We all need correction, and we all go through it. Because if you don't receive correction, what does the word say? You're not really a true son or daughter of God. Those that he loves, he'll correct. And so how you receive it. You receive correction, and when he'll see you for 2-3 weeks, says something. But whether you feel like you deserve it or not, the right response is, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, thank you. That's how I was taught. It wasn't like, but, you know, just receive it. God's sitting in the room. He's sitting in on the conference. He's watching your response. The Holy Spirit is seeing that. And so we all come to a point where we all need correction. And are you teachable? Are you able to receive? These things are, they're fundamental. They really are. They're fundamental for leaders, for ministry leaders, and for even those of you that are serving alongside with others in the ministry. It is. Another example that I love of an excellent spirit was in the book of Luke, the Good Samaritan. The story isn't that, you know, it's not like Daniel, but the Good Samaritan, he's just traveling along his way. And here's a man that gets beaten up. He's bleeding. He's bruised. He's on the side of the road, can't get up. And a priest walks by, just steps over to the other side, just leaves him alone. A Levite comes by, sees the guy, just walks away, acts like he didn't see him. But a Samaritan, a foreigner, whom you least expect it to, sees the man, and the Bible said he had great compassion for him. And he went over to the man, cleaned his wounds, poured balm, put salve on him, cleaned him up, washed him, put him on his animal. I don't know if it was a donkey or a horse or whatever he had at that time. Took him to the inn where he was staying. He didn't have to do that. He could have just left him on the road and patched him up and said, there you go, okay, be blessed. Gave him a bottle of water, maybe a Big Mac, and said, you know, you'll be fine. But he took it an extra step, went an extra mile, put the man on his donkey, took him to the inn, told the innkeeper, here's some money, take care of him. Whatever he needs, do it. And if I owe you anything, I'll pay you for it when I come back. Man wasn't even there yet. Just took care of the guy. That's an excellent spirit. That's a spirit of excellence. Nobody's seen the guy. You wouldn't even expect a Samaritan to do something like that. But he did. He did. Because that was just in him. Nobody was watching him. He wasn't getting points or no. In fact, they were despised in certain areas, Samaritans. But he was the only one that took the time to pour the oil and the wine. So these things we need to improve on and do more, church, really, because in the times where we're at right now, with the fires, the way that Maui was attacked, I'm not telling you something you all don't know. Souls, people are hurting. They are open to hear the gospel. They are open to hear the word. They are open to receive Jesus in their heart, but they're not going to do it by themselves. They need someone to just guide them, someone to talk, maybe somebody to pray with them. It's not hard. It's ripe out there. It really is. Not just with victims of the fire, but even to their friends, family members, the one where, you know, they can't help it. They just break down and start crying when when they start talking about what happened. Everybody, this whole islands, even the mainland, has been affected. And there's lots we can be doing. In fact, I'll say there's more we should be doing out there with and in the community, in these hurting people. And let's not wait until they come to church to love on them and to give them. We'll do that. We'll take care of our own. And yes, we'll take care of those that have a need, families, friends, people that are just, you know, I need help. And we're here to help them. Amen. Amen. Well, stand to your feet tonight.